St. Paul can pack a lot of ideas into just one sentence. I'll prove it to you by reading just the second sentence from today's reading of his letter to the churches in Rome. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. I needed a deep breath before reading that sentence. It seems St. Paul has so much to tell us, he can't wait, so he packs a lot into just one sentence. Paul is teaching us about suffering today, and I think there's another reason he puts so much into one sentence. After he writes about suffering, he immediately pivots to write about God's love for us. I'll read that sentence one more time so you can listen for that pivot from suffering to God's love. Deep breath. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. I think Paul pivots so quickly from suffering to God's love because he doesn't want us to give up hope. Whenever we think about suffering, he wants us to also remember God's love for us. It seems to me this shows his compassion for his audience in Rome. Immediately after he writes about suffering, he writes about God's love. So what about the sentence right before that one? In the previous sentence, he reminds us of several things. One, we have peace with God. Two, we stand in grace. Three, we share in the glory of God. Again, I think Paul packs so much into these sentences out of his compassion for his readers. In the midst of our suffering, he points us to God's love for us. By the way, Paul wrote this letter for the churches in Rome as he was preparing to visit them. He had already been on his missionary travels for 10 years at that point, but he had not been to Rome yet. And he wanted them to discuss his messages among themselves before he arrived to talk with them in person. The churches in those days would gather together to read aloud letters and other scriptures, just like we did this morning and like we still do every week. Paul writes that suffering produces endurance. In fact, he says we boast in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Can suffering lead to endurance? Can hard times make us stronger? One of the hard times in my life was after I started a new job with the National Weather Service in Pendleton, Oregon. My job title then was Science Officer, the exact same title as Spock on the TV show Star Trek. And like Spock, I was supposed to have the answers to everyone's questions. We were a new office then called a spin-up office, so there were a lot of questions as we were spinning up new programs to provide service in that area. But I had a problem. I didn't have the answers. I had never worked in a forecast office before. I'd come straight out of graduate school into the Weather Service, so I was kind of thrown into it. I was pretty clueless about what to do at a forecast office. Also, my wife Tia and I had just moved away from our families from Salt Lake to Pendleton, Oregon for the first time. That was the first time we'd moved away. And we had a 10-month-old baby, which was our first child. So all those things added to my stress. It stressed me out so much that I wasn't sleeping at night. I was waking up at 3 a.m. and never getting back to sleep. Don't you hate that? I was stuck in that cycle of no sleep, more stress, no sleep, more stress. It wasn't physical suffering. The problems were mostly in my head. Mark Twain knew about this kind of suffering. Mark Twain said, "I've had so many problems in my life, and most of them never happened." But when you're not sleeping well, you do suffer, and I thought quite a bit about giving up. So looking back, did my suffering produce endurance? Absolutely. There was no breakthrough that meant I started sleeping through the night, but you learn to put things in perspective. And those problems, they weren't all on me. I had a steady, wise, and loving partner in Tia, thank God. And at the office, we worked through those problems together. I have dear friends from those days because we worked through those struggles together. So my suffering did produce endurance, and did my suffering also lead to hope the way Paul describes it in our reading today? Yeah, I think it did. Often now when my stress level is up to here, I remember that the problems are not on my shoulders, and I try to trust the future to God and take things one step at a time. Those hard times definitely helped prepare me for my next move with the Weather Service, which brought us here to Sparks. Knowing that gives me hope. After teaching about suffering, Paul wrote that hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts. I love that imagery of God's love being poured into all of our hearts. God's love is like pure, refreshing water. We don't have to go somewhere else to get it. Instead, it has already been poured into our hearts. It reminds me of today's gospel lesson when Jesus tells the woman at the well that he gives us a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. God's love is always with us. We don't have to go somewhere to look for it. And yet at the same time, grace can surprise us, sort of like in the middle of the desert, finding a spring of water gushing up. Back in Pendleton, when I was going through that hard time, one day grace surprised me. One day my supervisor said, "Hey, John, I noticed you've been kind of quiet around the office lately. Is everything going okay?" It was such a simple thing to say, but I really needed to hear it that day. While I was so in my head, stressed out about my performance, my supervisor cared about me. How was I doing? His simple words that day were a moment of grace. We might lose touch with the fact that God's love surrounds us always, and then it's those small moments of grace that can surprise us and remind us we don't have to go looking for God's love because it's already here in our hearts. So before I finish, I would like to end with a prayer, and I'd like to include a prayer for the coronavirus outbreak. People in our community and around the world are suffering, some infected by it, others, our lives are being impacted, and we're all worried about the uncertainty. How is it going to impact our lives? I am grateful so much for the faith community we have here at St. Paul's because I know we're all going to support each other no matter what happens. So I'd like to end with a prayer. What I've done is I've taken that sentence that we read from St. Paul today and I've turned it into a prayer. So let us pray. God of this grace in which we stand, we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, character, and hope does not disappoint us. We pray for the healing of all our brothers and sisters who are suffering because of the coronavirus. May they experience your love in everything and in everyone around them. And we give thanks for your love for us, which has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.